It is good to be here. Thank those who came and who have come. And as Steve said, just share a little bit. And I'm just very thankful for Grace Bible Church. A lot of times they'll come up and have Bible study with us. Very new church, Cornerstone Community Church. We started in January. I was, as Brother Steve said, I was let go back in November for teaching things that were very clear in the Word of God. And been involved in ministry for a long time, mostly with youth. But now I'm very fortunate there's a few families that we have come together. Started in a garage at people's houses from week to week. And from since then, we're now in a house that somebody is helping us with. And we're just very fortunate people to be able to understand the Bible clearly. Funny thing is, you always think you've always understood the Bible clearly when you have been an associate pastor and a youth pastor and had all these titles, but it's something different when you see the Word and it says, instead of what you think it says, but it says exactly what it says. And so whether there's six or whether there's 30 or 100, it doesn't matter. The exciting thing is we're seeing a lot of lives changed and just a lot of people getting the knowledge of the truth. Back 4 years ago, I was at a church in Dalton, and as Brother Steve said, received these DVDs and talking to Lawrence Hogue, and of course my dad, as we played golf. I just came to a point in my life to where I didn't worry about doctrine that much. I more was concerned with what the Word said, and I'm thankful for that. But youth started exploding. They started getting exciting about youth, anything that's different. They come to. Well, they started coming to these things, and lo and behold, I was let go, and I've been had more joy for that than I've ever had. Little more broke now, but that's okay. I have some people that say, I've never seen you work before, you know, that have been with me through the ministry. You know, a lot of times they think that being a youth minister, you don't work, but no, I'm very fortunate. Tonight, I'm just going to speak on things that were very clear to me, and what caused me to make up my mind or come to a decision on knowing that the Bible is very clear, that I don't have to use excuses like, well, that's just God, or that's just the mystery of God, or always try to find another answer to answer a question instead of just using Scripture. Somebody asked me tonight if I was nervous. I don't get near as nervous anymore because more than likely I shut up and just read what the Scripture says more than anything, and it's really a lot easier now to preach what the Word says instead of what I say. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, I want to read verses 5 through 10, and we're going to see some differences that were very clear to me of what was between Peter and what was between Paul, and things that caused me to realize I am not a part of Israel, but I am part of the body of Christ, and there's a distinct difference. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 5 through 10, the Word of God says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. A few things to remember. Let's remember the theme of this letter that the Apostle Paul has written. And the whole theme of this letter of Galatians is, we are not under the law, we are under grace. It's the key through this whole letter. Peter and the other disciples had no comprehension of this. You'll never see it through the Old Testament. You won't see it through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels in any way that they were under grace and grace alone. They had no clue of God moving in another direction either, away from the covenant promises, away from the Jewish economy. Things were absolutely different, and as if you read these scriptures, you'll recognize that there was a gospel to those of the circumcision, those to Israel, to God's covenant people. And there was also a gospel, the good news that Paul had received, that Peter and the other disciples had no comprehension of. And that's what Paul was talking about here. They were unfamiliar of the gospel of the grace of Christ. Now, with Paul's message and the revelation and the mystery that he received, they were reaching blacks, whites, rich, poor, east, west, Jew, and Gentile, because they were all the same. This was something revealed to Paul from the ascended Lord. Without Paul's letters, this gospel that he is sharing would not have been known. This good news that Paul was giving was very, very different. And with what we just read, it's very clear that they even shook hands on it. Peter actually, finally, in a hard way, realized that there was a difference. Even Peter's message and Paul's message are clearly, clearly different. Even Peter had a hard time with Paul's writings, even especially when it dealt with salvation. If you'll hold your hand here and just turn with me to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16, and you'll see what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." He doesn't mention any other disciples here. He mentions the apostle Paul and Paul's writings for the long suffering of salvation. And in verse 16 it says, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things," notice what I said, it was hard for Peter, "in some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do, also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Peter's saying it's hard, it was hard to understand. And these that don't follow the epistles of the Apostle Paul will twist the scriptures. They'll turn the scriptures, and it will lead them to their own destruction. It will lead them to their own unrighteousness and in their own ways. And so it was very clear that even though Peter got it, it was even hard for him to understand. Why was this so hard to understand for Peter? Well, let's remind ourselves. He came from Jewish background, under the law. Nothing had changed except the Jews' Messiah had appeared, presented himself as King of Israel, their Redeemer. Israel as a whole, though, had rejected him, and they crucified him. And even in Acts, in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter continues the very same message to Israel only, to repent. To repent of what? Of course, let's remind ourselves, repentance was the changing of the mind. It wasn't something that we turned from or something that we had to do. Even when Peter preached repentance, he preached it as the fact of changing, realizing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. That Christ Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, Lord, King of Israel. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 2, let's see the message that Peter preached compared to Paul's message. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 38, it's very clear who Peter is talking to here. It says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, who is they? Of course we know that's Israel, because that's who Paul is talking to. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It wasn't a repentance unto their sinfulness or under their sin nature. It was repentance to recognize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. That was the message that Peter knew. That was who Peter was brought up to be when he walked with Christ on the earth. So we can see that it was hard for him to understand a different gospel that the Apostle Paul was preaching. And when I saw this in the Galatians letter that I'd preached so many years over and over again about freedom, I realized there's something that just don't add up here until I recognized that there was a different gospel. Israel rejected again. They continued in unbelief. And so in Acts 9, we recognize that God moves supernaturally. He moves Saul of Tarsus, and Saul becomes Paul, and everything begins to change. If you stay in Acts and you turn with me to chapter 22, we'll see some things of Paul that were different of Peter. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 21, "And he said unto me, Depart," now this is of course Jesus, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." It's very clear Paul was to go to the Gentiles, and Peter was speaking to the whole house of Israel. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 14, it's also clear what the Apostle Paul says. In chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." At this point, Paul had started having Gentile converts that were under his gospel. Well, what gospel was that? It was the gospel of the power unto salvation. It's clear in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, "I know that you know that according to the Scriptures, our salvation rests on the simple fact that Christ was crucified, dead, buried, and rose again." We know that's what we celebrate and that's what we rejoice in. And it is not the same message that Peter said about repenting and being baptized, believing that Jesus was the Messiah. But it was about the crucifixion and the resurrection and the blood of Christ. There was good news. Peter had good news. But that gospel had come to a point that will pick up in later things to come. In the dispensation, God's format, God had changed so all could be saved. Here in this letter, in the Galatian letter, it was clear that people that they were falling for what the Judaizers were saying. And Paul, in this Galatian letter, is making harsh statements. He had come into this area, into these assemblies, and he had shared with them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, how they were free. And they were changed. In fact, they were changed, and he left. And those from Peter, or those that were Judaizers, would come in, and they were making comments, or they were making it clear that that was fine that they were saved, but they needed to pick up the Jewish laws. And so Paul here had written this letter to Galatia and to the Galatian people. Judaizers were trying to convince them to keep the law, keep the law. The amazing thing is the very same picture that we have today and the very same picture that I grew up in myself. Not because I was a bad person or because I thought I was better than somebody else. It was the simple fact that in this country we are raised that as long as we are good, as long as we can keep the law, then we are like Israel. And it's very clear, Paul wrote the same letter to the Galatian people that I believe he could write to people in the United States today that are in churches every week. Because they're bad? No, because they want to be good. But because they don't see the differences in the Gospels. And that's the key, and that's why Paul wrote this letter. And so that's why he makes harsh statements in this letter that should be very clear to us that if we're not careful to take the Bible for what it says, we will fall under the same unrighteousness. In Galatians chapter 1, I want to remind us of this letter as we get to where we were at a while ago. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6 and 7. Look what the Apostle Paul says to these who are falling for the Jewish ways. In verse 6 and 7, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Paul's good news was being perverted. That's why he wrote this letter. It was becoming, when you say perverted, this word was becoming impure. It was becoming impure and as a picture of something that is not clean. That's not good news at all. And Paul said in verse 7, which is not another. It's not good news at all. You're falling for this news of what Israel had, and it's not good news at all. Because God is dealing in a different way now. It didn't matter whether you were Jew or Gentile. It didn't matter what color you were or where you were from. There was the gospel of grace and grace alone. So it was becoming impure. And look what he says about it becoming impure and those that were bringing it to make it impure. But though we or an angel from heaven, in verse 8, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, he makes it very clear. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Accursed is a picture of eternal separation. It's a picture of somebody without Christ. Because why? The message, the good news that wasn't good news at all, had become perverted. Paul's message of the gospel of grace, we know, was the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and trusting in it and it alone and nothing that we do. And the Judaizers were coming in sharing what their gospel was. They were saying, that's fine, but you need to be circumcised. You need to repent and be baptized. It was a different message, and they were falling for it. And so Paul made these harsh words. Now it was very clear, this flock that had been saved under Peter, that had works of righteousness and had trusted that Jesus was the Messiah, they were still around at this point. And Peter was taking care of those. They had forsaken all and given it all up, and there were some of those that would die in their faith. But they weren't being saved that way anymore. Paul says if anybody preaches that message at all, they're accursed. They'll be eternally separated. It won't be salvation at all. Remember, Paul was saved by grace, and when he was saved, he spent 3 years at Mount Sinai. God didn't send him to other disciples. We know the message was different, because when Paul was saved, he didn't go to other disciples. It wasn't an extension of Peter and the others. He didn't hang around them to learn. God sent him away. There was a total, absolute difference in the Gospels. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, recognize what Paul says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, you notice that's singular, it's preached of me, is not after man. Paul didn't go to anybody else to learn what Peter had learned when he was saved. He didn't learn the Jewish ways. He already knew the Jewish ways. But he learned something totally different. A new gospel. The good news for that day. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ himself brought the revelation to this good news. Paul is always, through his letters, he is always defending who he is, who called him, which was Christ, and the revelation that was given to him. He doesn't refer to what Peter taught him. He doesn't refer to what other apostles taught him. But he is continually in every letter defending the faith of the good news of today, the death, burial, and the resurrection. Now back to where we first started reading in chapter 2. Let's notice again how much more clear this letter can become in verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul's reminded them, before he received the right hand of fellowship by Peter and by the others, that he met these other apostles. And that he was very clear of his gospel and the gospel that they were preaching. And he says, it did not make a difference to me what they had and what I have. In fact, they didn't change my mind one bit. Not for an hour. They didn't put me under any subjection. There was nothing they could add to me that would change the gospel that I have given to you that now you are following differently. Paul wants to make it clear to them. He wants to make it very clear. To whom? When he says in verse 5, to whom, he's talking about the leaders in Jerusalem. When he said in verse 5, to continue with you, he's making it clear it was to the Gentiles. Why were these people somewhat? Well, I remind you, these people, Peter and the other apostles, were leaders. They were leaders. Everything was laid at their feet, but their power was slipping. So Paul met them at a summit meeting. They all got together. If you'll remember, Peter even stood up after what took place, and Peter recognized what happened before. And he knew that Paul, even though it was hard for Peter to understand, he knew that Paul's epistles were the right epistles for the good news of the day. Peter himself even admitted it. In verse 6 and 7, it says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." In verse 7, "But contrarywise, when they saw," look how clear this is, and this is where it totally came through and made sense to me. "But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." How in the world can we confuse that in any way? There's a clear message. There's a clear message that before Paul received the revelation of the mystery, that Peter and the other apostles were leading the house of Israel. And they were doing exactly what they were told to do, and that was good news. And they were waiting for Christ to come and set up His kingdom. But there was a plan that God, Almighty God, knew from the very beginning that they didn't have a clue about. And that was the grace and grace alone, trusting in what Christ did at the cross and nothing else for your salvation. That's an awesome, awesome thing. And there's clearly a different message. And Paul brings it out in this letter that was to them and to us also. In verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Again, there's a total, absolute separation of gospels. These gospels were clearly different, and we have to recognize this. They're great people that are very knowledgeable of scriptures, but they put it all in a big pot and they stir it up and they don't see the differences. That's exactly who I was and what I was. And I find myself today having a joy of defending the true gospel. It's exciting, it's different, may not have as many friends, but you have truth. And truth will let you lay your head down on your pillow at night. So we see these gospels were clearly different. We must recognize this. It's different even in relation to our eternity. In closing, I want you to go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. In chapter 1, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." This word judgment is very clear. It means discernment in thinking and studying and recognizing and then also laying it out to the way you live. And Paul says here that he prays that your love will abound yet more and more. Will their love abound more and more in what? In the knowledge of the judgment of what the Scriptures say. And look at verse 10. "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, but not just sincere, and without offense till the day of Christ." So judgment we know is discernment. Things that are excellent, things that are different, things that are taking notice because your knowledge, your love of knowledge grows more and more. So here's a picture. You read it, it says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve things that are different." You can recognize that there is a difference. Well, how different between Peter and Paul? Night and day. Night and day. The same God, but a new body of truth. Never revealed before Paul. And that's what he wanted them to recognize. The examples that I could think of, Christ's earthly ministry never, ever spoke of the Gentile body of Christ. Paul was the only one to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection being the power unto salvation. There was never a word of the Holy Spirit indwelling in individual believers. How about the rapture of the church? It's only found in Paul's letters. And it's very clear that Israel knew nothing of this. But yet today, there are people that sit in congregations every day that think they are the new Israel. We're not the bride of Christ. We're the body. We're the body that are promised things that are heavenly and spiritual. Why didn't Israel know? Well, they're looking for a physical kingdom that one day God will see, because He makes a covenant promise that will always come through. But there's one thing that we can rejoice in tonight. We don't have to worry about the things that are physical, because He clearly gave us grace to be part of the spiritual body of Christ. That's a great thing to rejoice in. And I just thank you for listening. I hope it makes a difference in the way you see that their gospels are clearly different, and that the gospel unto us is the gospel of the power and the salvation that was given to Paul to us, that we trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Not according to Paul, but according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Not because Paul said it, but because God said it. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for your word and your truth. The clarity that you give to us when we are loving knowledge, when we have discernment, when we see those things that are different. And I'm thankful that those are things that we can recognize. God, I pray that people would be enlightened, that it would be clear to them that the only thing they need to trust in is what you did at the cross. And Paul's gospel speaks that clearly. I thank you that the Bible is true and it's real. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.